again for this opportunity to come together. And I will apologize that I am not my dad. He is in he's in Garland this morning doing a lesson there for them. But I wanted to thank everybody for being here, and thank you for your attention this morning. Brother Rick asked me, am I against sin? You know, Jesus was a lot of times asked the same thing. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to be focusing out of that text this morning. And Luke chapter 15, starting in verse number 1, we read the following. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You can almost hear him murmuring against Jesus. Well, he's spending his time with these sinners. Is he really against sin on that? How does Jesus go about answering them? We're going to this morning be reading through this chapter and see Jesus' answer to them. And at first, it kind of throws you off. You don't realize what his point is. But then eventually by the end of the chapter, we'll see Jesus' point on this. Starting in verse number 3, we read the following. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, and rejoiceth. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Jesus answers them, and he starts off, and he tells them, if you've lost a sheep, aren't you going to go look for it and find it? And then when you find that sheep, aren't you going to come back and rejoice for that sheep that you found? You can see the Pharisees shaking their head to that one, that yes, we can see that. Then in verse number 8, we read the following. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Again, has anybody here ever lost money and you're trying to find this? Maybe you've lost a check and you're trying to find it and you finally find it. That's a good feeling when you find that. Or if you reach in your pocket and you find a $20 bill that you didn't realize was in there, that's a good feeling. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees, you can see them then agreeing with them. But it's in this next parable that we're about to read that Jesus is going to turn it around on them a little bit. We know this parable as the parable of the prodigal son. I submit to you that we're focusing on the wrong son here. So let's start and let's read that, starting in verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I'm going to pause here, and we're going to talk about this a little bit. So here we're seeing this picture. There's a man with two sons, and the younger son comes to him and says, "Father, I give me that portion of my inheritance. I want it now." Is this the attitude that we see in our life today? Yes, this is absolutely an attitude that we can picture today. So he gets this inheritance, and it says, not many days later, that he travels to a far country. And what does he proceed to do with that inheritance? He blows it. He goes out and he does all this rebellious living. What's the phrase that we have today talking about something like this? He's sowing his wild oats. So he goes out and he's rebelling against what his father would have him do. And then what always happens? You go out, life is good, you have all these friends, but then the money runs out. Where did all his friends go? So we have a saying that somebody has hit rock bottom. The prodigal son here has hit rock bottom. He's out of money. He's in a far country. He's working, feeding swine. How did the Jewish nation regard swine? They regarded them as the most unclean animal, that they wouldn't have anything to do with them. And it says here that he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that they were eating. Have you ever seen what pigs eat? It's not appetizing in the least. That's some serious hunger there. So then he's hit rock bottom. And what do we read? In verse number 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So here, he's hit rock bottom and he's had this epiphany that the servants in my father's house have it better. Why don't I set my pride aside and go to my father? He's not trying to hide what he did. He's not trying to sugarcoat it. He said, Father, I have messed up, and please just let me have the lowest portion in your house. And he's coming home, and his father sees him. What's his father's reaction to seeing that son returning? He sees him afar off. His father was looking for him. And he goes running to him and has compassion on him. So in verse number 21, we read, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, isn't this a great picture? He's returning, and much like those other parables that Jesus has just spoken, you can see the Pharisees agreeing with it. This is a great thing. The son has returned. Isn't it great that we have a spiritual father that is that forgiving, that he knows, his father knew what he had done, but he's waiting. He's looking afar off to see him. And you can see the scribes and Pharisees nodding along to this. But the parable doesn't end here. we're about to get to what Jesus is trying to tell these scribes and Pharisees. In verse number 25, we read, "Now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." So what's the brother's? He's out working. He's hard, working hard. So this is a faithful son. He's been doing what the father wants here. And so he's working in the field. He comes back and he hears this. And he grabs a servant and says, What's going on? Why is there a party going on? And so the servant tells him, your brother is home, and he's safe, and he's sound. Now, the elder brother's reaction, of course, is joy for this, right? Is that what we read here? No. And in verse number 28, we read, "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So the brother's reaction is anger. He's mad. He's saying, well, he got to go out and live it up while I was here working, and you've never given me anything to have a party with my friends, and now he's back and you're celebrating for him. Is this not the point of this parable? The scribes and Pharisees are sitting there and they're murmuring, saying, well, he's eating with the publicans and the sinners. And, well, why is he doing that? Why is he not with us? And here Jesus is telling them, look, this is not how you need to be reacting to when one of your own returns unto you. So this lesson is about forgiveness, and that forgiveness that we need to have for those who they've gone out into the world, but yes, they've returned to us. What did we just do before I got up here? We just had a memorial for the sacrifice that Jesus did on our behalf, for each and every one of us, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for us. So how much more should we be willing to rejoice when somebody returns to us? A few weeks ago, we went over the book of Jonah in Bible class. How was Jonah's reaction when the city of Nineveh repented of what they had done? In Jonah chapter 4, in the first few verses of that chapter, we read that Jonah, he's angry. He's angry that God has forgiven those from Nineveh because he didn't want them forgiven. He was mad at them. Brethren, we need to be very careful how we react to those who are coming, and that they're asking for forgiveness. And not only that, we need to be going to those who are still out there in the world. That's what Jesus was doing. He was going to those that needed it the most. And he was trying to get them to return. And he was saying, the Father's waiting with open arms. Shouldn't we be waiting with open arms for those that return to us? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew 6, starting in verse number 9. We've been studying in Bible class prayer. And here we read a prayer that is one that Jesus tells his disciples how they ought to pray. Starting in verse number 9, we read, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." But he doesn't stop his thought there. He's given them the model prayer. And what does he want to expand on in that model prayer? In verse number 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That ought to scare us right there. Jesus wanted to expand on his model prayer and say, if you're not forgiving those men in the world for whatever it is that they've done to you, your Father's not going to forgive you. If that doesn't scare you, it should. Are you holding on to a grudge against a brother or somebody else, something that, whatever it is that they've done, that you're still angry with them, that you're saying, I just can't get over this? What does this verse tell us? We better work on it. We better forgive them, because how can we expect God to forgive us? In Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter asked this question that we all know. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother that sinned against me? And I forgive him. Till seven times?" You can almost see Peter. He's feeling generous here. Well, this is the seventh time that he's come and he's done this thing. And he's come back and he said, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen again. So seven times? Is that good enough? What did Jesus answer him? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, does this mean we're to keep note of it? And, well, that 491st time, nope, that's it. Not again. No. It's not about the number of times. We need to be willing to forgive. And that's a hard thing for us. It's hard to let go of some of those things that people have done. But brethren, it's worth it. Because do you really want to live a faithful life like that elder brother and then let this keep you out of heaven? That you've gone, you've done all the things that have been asked of you, save this, that you weren't willing to forgive a brother for something that they've done and they've come back and they've repented of. That's a sobering thought for us. I haven't touched on what we need to do in order to be saved, but really, in a lot of ways, I have. We know the plan of salvation, that the Bible tells us that we're to hear the word, Romans 10:17. We're to believe what we've heard. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 24 tells us about that. We're to repent of those sins that we've committed. And that example we read in Luke chapter 15, that's the son coming to himself and saying, I know what I've done wrong. And he comes and he's telling the Father that I've done this, but I'm not going to do it anymore. We're to repent of that. We're to confess Jesus. Just like we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 35 to 38, we read of this confession. And then we're to be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38 tells us that we're to repent and be baptized, every one of you. But that's not where it stops. We have to make sure that once we're in this congregation, that we continue to live a faithful life. And that's where the older brother was. He was in the church, so to speak, and he had been working. But he wasn't remaining faithful to what he was working at that point. So we need to remain faithful to what we have learned. You know, if there's anybody here this morning that maybe you haven't been baptized before, and maybe you want to come and ask the congregation and tell them that you're ready to be baptized, or maybe you have been baptized, maybe you've been living your life and you've been caught up and you've let what somebody else has done distract you from following Jesus. Whatever it may be, we ask that you come as we stand and as we sing.